Welcome to another episode of the Way Shamanism Podcast. I'm Jessica, your host, and in these episodes, I take you on a journey into the world of shamanism, spiritual battle, healing, journeying, and so much more. Come journey with me. Welcome back, everybody, to today's podcast episode about Beltane. I know that you love the occult holiday series, and so far we've covered Samhain or Halloween, we've covered Christmas, we've covered Valentine's Day, and today we're going to cover Beltane. Beltane is a high ritual holiday, and I shared on Instagram this week about my transition from Australia via Hawaii to the US and how this unexpected opportunity came up to anoint in Boston at SatanCon, the satanic conference, and how the experience was. So I'll share it on here too, and it'll give some insight into spiritual battle, into the way circle, and lots of other really, really exciting things. And one of you mentioned on Instagram, because I posted a stories inviting you to look at the other more covert cover events that are also going on this weekend, because obviously SatanCon is happening this weekend because it is Beltane, and that's an overt event. It's openly displayed, but there's also lots of covert or cover events. Think of the Met Gala, think of, was it the Grammys or Oscars or some kind of award show that was happening this weekend too. There were many, many local festivals going on, all feeding energy into Beltane and that pagan ritual. And one of you, I believe it was Melissa, commented, isn't Beltane just a spring holiday? Yes, but it's not just a holiday. It's a pagan holiday, but we need to ask ourselves, what are they celebrating? What false gods are they sacrificing to, and how are they celebrating it? That is what we want to know. So I did a quick Google search just out of curiosity, and an interesting article came up, and I'll share just a quick quote. The article is interesting because it taps into lots of things just on the surface. It's The Eternal Search for May Day Magic is the title. It's on the WashingtonPost.com. It's actually from 1991. And the intro goes, roaring bonfires, ritual sex, even, some historians suggest, human sacrifice. There we go. Those ancient Celts partied pretty hardy, and never hardier than on Beltane. Sorry, just laughing about how this is written. But never hardier than on Beltane, Mayday's ritual ancestor. So already the human sacrifice part is being mentioned in the first sentence. These things matter because we need to understand that these big, big news outlets, they're all owned by the same system, the same cabal. And what is interesting is that when, let's say, quote-unquote normal people who are not in the occult read those rituals, we don't really read between the lines, but there is a specific language. There are different languages in the occult. There is sort of back-to-front reverse language, there's green language, and then there are many, many code words that are used. And when you know a little bit more about this, and by the way, if you're interested in any of this, you need to make sure that you are on the list for my spiritual battle training that's coming later this year, because everything that we're talking about here is the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg of what I'm going to be teaching there. Well, in these articles, you can already get a lot of information. First of all, they start to interview more modern day witches and occultists, and they choose people to interview, like accountants, people who are high level at NASA, etc. They talk about it in a way to make it look very cool, very sort of rebellious and anti-Christian, anti-establishment. they make it very, let's say, modern and kind of appeasing and mystical, and they make it cool in this article. That's the one thing that stands out immediately. But what's also quite interesting is the magic part that they go into. So they interview this electronics technician, a sort of programmer at NASA, a 37-year-old woman named Susan Hill. And she says, "It's not a game, it's my religion. People are tired of being told what to think by the basic religions in power right now." And then she goes to talk about the magic. She says, "A lot of what goes into machines and what goes on with machines is pretty magical," she says. For Hill, magic means deciding what I want. Already the credo of Satanists. What do I want? It's all about the ego. It has nothing to do with the highest good for the collective or service or any source connection. It's all about what do I want right now in this hedonistic lifestyle. So she says, deciding what I want and sitting down and formulating that thought very precisely and imagining it going out into the universe to create that reality. It really does work. This is how she talks about magic and AI, basically. Already touching on the fact that NASA, in Project Paperclip, employed all of these Nazis who were working very hard during the Second World War to perfect this dark kind of magic with groups like the Vril Society and make it mainstream, use it against us, use it to further their occult goals. Think of Wernher von Braun, who was very high level at NASA, had very close ties with Aleister Crowley, who created the Golden Dawn, which is very, very dark sex magic that involves children. That's all I will say. And they were, funnily enough, also associated with L. Ron Hubbard, who created Scientology. This stuff goes way back. So the fact that the Washington Post just kind of throws that in there is not a coincidence. And then what's a little bit chilling as well is that toward the end, very randomly, they mention, because now they're interviewing someone called Campanelli, a lady, she says that those interested in maintaining a youthful complexion should try the ancient practice of washing their faces in May Day morning dew. To me, this reads like code, and we know what goes on in these cults and how it all is about eternal life for them and eternal youth and the things that they do and use that come from children to achieve that. So just a quick little Google search on Beltane was already pretty interesting. Now, Beltane is all about fertility. Like we've seen with the other holiday deep dives that we've done on here, it's all about that sex magic. And the stereotypical visual that comes to mind with Beltane is children holding ribbons connected to this big pole in the center, running around it, having these little flower crowns on their head. What they're doing here is a ritual circle. Think of a pentagram, but then they put a circle around it in witchcraft. That's called a magic circle. It focuses all of the energy into a specific point. And here they have the kids running in opposite directions. So they will have all the little girls running in one direction and all the boys running in the other direction. This is a double whammy in magic. This, I believe, we also spoke about when it came to Mormonism and how they set up the architecture to create flows of energy that open portals into other dimensions, which is what they do here. Beltane is all about the virgin, fertility, the elevation of the female, and what they're actually doing on a high level, because we need to distinguish whether we're talking about Beltane or SatanCon, which we're going into. You have the lower level mass media version of the occult, and then you have what is actually happening at very high levels underground, underneath the surface, and what we don't see. So always keep that in mind. Now, what they're actually doing is celebrating young priestesses-to-be in the system, and they are sacrificing around the theme of fertility. So when it comes to human sacrifice, think of virgins, think of pregnant girls, etc. And at the highest level, we have priestesses in orders like priestesses of Delphi, who fall under the Canaanite tradition, which is very ancient. Basically, Lucifer worship backed by Rome and now the Vatican financially. So this is all very ancient, and a system that evolves over time, takes on different faces over time, and evolves, takes on different shapes technologically. But this is what we're dealing with. It's a very ancient rite. And whether it's these big events that seem unrelated, whether it's the Met Gala or local events or the satanic conference, whether it's covert or overt or obvious or seemingly unrelated, it's all feeding that energy into the gods that they worship. So let's get into SatanCon. Well, we were in Hawaii. We were bridging some time for our move to Boston, and we moved here for a number of different reasons, the weather not being one of them, although it is nice. Maybe it will be nice to have seasons again. We will see. But Boston is really the woke capital of the US, so the perfect place for a satanic conference to take place. Also, the universities, of course, are big here. The medical industry is huge. And this is really a full circle moment for me, not just because I lived in Boston until I was about 5, but because I had a incurable ear disease, which I've spoken about before. And really my only hope at any kind of improvement would have been a surgery with a specific Boston-based specialist here, which, by the way, has a very low success rate, but it was, let's say, the only hope. But I healed it completely through journeying, and now I am here to take down the strongholds of pharmakeia. And when you get into spiritual battle, you are going to be directed to different events and situations that need anointing, that need to be consecrated, that need light being brought in there. And this is really the most fun thing about battle. And this is also why we should always be prepared. We always need to be in good health. We need to have our energy field in order, our source connection flowing. Allow no fear ever. Just connect to the gratitude for the opportunity that you have to serve, to grow in your faith and in your source connection, to grow in your protection, to have fun, because spiritual battle is honestly the most fun thing there is. You should go into meditation to receive instructions about how to strategize. You can even fast as a sacrifice, not from food altogether, but maybe from something that you know is not really serving your source connection. Scope the area, anoint everything, pray over the area that there will be no sacrifices, to rebuke the strongholds, for all involved to be set free. And if you can't be there physically, journey to anoint the area. And mostly have lots of compassion for those who are involved, because they are lost and they need to be freed and they need help. A spiritual battle, when you get into the depths of how it works and how to do it, especially safely and very effectively, it is an art, and it is the most beautiful art form that we should all be trained in. Now, I was in Hawaii, and completely by coincidence, I found out that SatanCon was happening, of course, in Boston on the day we arrive, very close to where we are staying. And the event's location was, of course, the Marriott. You know exactly what this means if you've listened to the Mormonism podcast episodes. The Marriott is a Mormon institution, the hotel chain, and it's basically Satanism, Luciferianism. All the police involved were also part of the system, but I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But it's not just about the specific location where the event was taking place, but how they funnel the energy throughout the city into the different other institutions, churches, Masonic lodges, which is literally next to where we are staying right now. Interesting, no? There are absolutely no coincidences. Now, I found out that SatanCon was happening just in time, just a few days ago. And the night before, I was up because of jet lag, and I was going into the spirit, and I was actually seeing the battle taking place. So the day before, I arrived in Boston. I was, of course, completely exhausted from the long flight, but I anointed all over these different institutions. And in spiritual battle training, I'm going to teach you exactly how to read a city so that you know how all of this is being done and you know exactly where to intervene and break up the funneling of energy that they're doing. Because this is also why they do the big cover events. It's not just to get everyone involved. It's also to have an excuse on the surface to get all of the people who are in the same system in the same place to partake in these rituals. But even when it involves big, let's say, tourist attractions, places where a lot of people come who are not aware of what's going on, like that Marriott where SatanCon was part of the biggest mall in Boston. It's all to steal and harness the energy of anyone and everyone who is around and feed it into the god that they are worshiping and connecting with and opening the portal that they're calling in all of these demonic attachments through. And this you could feel and see so clearly. When we arrived there, it was hectic. It was craziness. There was, of course, the hotel. 800 Satanists were attending. And then across the street, you had different Christian groups singing, chanting, praying. The battle was, it was like being in a battlefield energetically. And the moment that we got out of the taxi, the police, who were actually defending and protecting the Satanists, of course, were part of it. And they started to talk to my husband and I and started to pit us against the Christians who were on the opposite side of the road, because they were explaining in a mocking way how they were defending the freedom of speech of Satanists. And of course, there is freedom of speech, freedom of association, freedom of religion. And they were using it to mock the people who were actually there to stand up and express their opinions, which is that they don't want demonic strongholds to be brought into their city. And this is not surprising at all. Whenever there are rituals going on, the police that is part of the system will be protecting those events and making sure that no one accesses those parts of the building. We went inside and there were police and security everywhere, making sure that we couldn't access other parts than the lobby. And when it comes to the visitors of SatanCon, what type of people come here? In my opinion, it's at least 99% low-level members. It's the people who are the outcasts, who shop at Hot Topic, who look very goth and punky, and who are like anarchists, and are really obviously looking to belong to a group, who feel like outcasts. And this is really how they get people in the first place. It's people who have religious trauma, who've had horrible traumatic experiences with the church and with authority and with religion in general. And what they say, and I have a whole podcast episode explaining Luciferianism and what they actually believe, and they say that Satan is more of a symbol, almost a caricature. It's not a real god for them, but it's more symbolic of an attitude and a way of life, which is very much about service to self and the type of freedom that they want to embody. So it attracts people who are very arrogant. And this you could feel very clearly. Arrogant in the sense that they feel like they are smarter that they're outsmarting other people, that they know better, that anyone who has a relationship with Source, Creator, God is stupid and naive, very similar to what atheists believe, actually, for a group who calls themselves a religion. And this is very much, for a large part in the world, due to communism. Communism really severed on a mass scale our relationship with Creator and replaced it with atheism. And what I also found interesting is that for people who deny that they are actually worshiping a false god called Satan or Lucifer, it stood out to me that the vast majority of the people there were wearing pentagrams, and they were dressed as caricatures, and they had drawn inverted crosses on their forehead, all the typical stuff that you would see in, I don't know, a South Park episode, for example. There was some very creepy stuff going on. Like, I saw a person wear a little childlike doll. It was strange. But we know the things that they're into, and the demonic oppression was so strong, it was crushing, and you could see that these people were actually really suffering. As arrogant they seemed on the outside, you could just see by their behavior how incredibly oppressed these people were, and it's actually very, very sad to see. So instead of being afraid or feeling any kind of hatred toward these people, and of course what they're doing in these rituals is very damaging and hurting innocent people, but ultimately we need to have compassion for these people because they're not living a happy, healthy life. A happy, sane, healthy person is not going to join the satanic church. This is ancestral oppression, and we're also there to help set these people free and how they atone and are hopefully ultimately healed and set free and have a beautiful source connection. That is ultimately between them and God. We're just there to anoint, to be a vessel for light and fighting angels to come in. We are really there to stand up and claim the land back for Yahweh and express that we do not consent to what is happening there, because all of this is about consent. And removing entities or doing spiritual battle is not about fighting. It's not about a fighting, exhaustive, scary, dragged out encounter. You could see it as more of an argument where you always have the last word because of Yahushua's sacrifice. It's more of a legality, but we still need to go there and express it and stand up and claim that land back and bring in healing and set the land apart for Yahweh, because God's not a dictator. We have free will. We can choose if we want to be Satanists and we want to, like Lucifer, split off from God and become service to self and try and create our own lights and draw people into that dark, dark black hole, because that is ultimately what they do, because they're cut off from Source. They don't have access to Source energy anymore. But when we reclaim that land and we say that we don't consent to it and we have the proper tools to engage with the physical geographic location, hands-on, as well as in the spirit, we ultimately are always victors. We ultimately always win because we are connected to Source. And ultimately, God's deciding over Lucifer. So in the grand scheme of things, in the hierarchy, Lucifer is not on the same level as God. So you always have a head start if you are in service to God. So it's almost like, and literally in your energy field, if your Source connection is restored, maybe you have a tree of life in your energy field or a beautiful, strong wellspring of just pure life force energy. This is how I will often see that be represented. When you have that flowing and open and abundant and that health, that vitality come into your energy field, it flows through you just by virtue of you existing into your environment. But when people like Satanists, like Lucifer did, turn away from that and say, you know what? I don't want to live off of you know, God's life force. I want to create my own, and I want people, other people, to be dependent on my life force. Because they don't have that direct access, it's almost like they're going in and stealing that life force, that living water from others. And they're starting this very complex, difficult, uphill irrigation project to try and squeeze every last drop out of it. But because they don't have the supply, they always have to go back and steal it from others and really manufacture what they are trying to create in terms of a stronghold. So this is also why witchcraft needs to be very precise. It needs to address the specific elements. It's very mathematical. It's extremely perfectionistic, because all that they have is the chance, the opportunity to steal energy from the earth, from others, and manufacture it into portals that they are trying to open to call in all of these demonic entities. But it's a losing game. This is also why the biggest occultists in our time, think of Aleister Crowley, for example, they all, without fail, end up lonely, sick, drug-addicted hermits who, on their deathbed, want to be saved and want to come to God, because they're serving a false master who is not loyal to them at all. And all the power that they're trying to get, it's false, it's not lasting, it doesn't work, and they will always need to sacrifice more and more and more, because it's the opposite of what source supplies. It's literally a black hole that just sucks energy, and it's never enough, and nothing really of lasting value can be built out of it. So then why do we have all of these strongholds in the world? It's because they are working over hours to establish them and to keep them going and to keep them running, because the people who do have that source connection are, let's face it, pretty content and most of the time unaware of what's actually happening and a little bit lazy. Let's face it, we could be doing so much more. And then what we also need to address is maybe the fear of going to these places and going to these events and doing what needs to be done and investing in becoming very equipped spiritual warriors, because that is what is needed. And once we know how to do this, it is so much easier for us than it is for them. So it's just so frustrating to see how far they've actually come with their goals. And also in brainwashing our society into accepting so much of what they stand for and what they're doing. Because think about it, you really only need to brainwash maybe one or two generations until things become completely normal. Honestly, take a moment, observe society, and think about that. Now, I visited the event. I was there with MJ and with a circle member and her partner. And what we actually did was we went inside, we prayed over the land, we prayed over the people, we anointed everything, including the water, and I rebuked the main principalities there that they were serving. It was so much fun. We were catching up, and she was also telling me about how she had tried all these different types of practices, even a specific type of shamanism before, and when it came to fighting entities, it was like a literal fight. And it was only when she learned about this work that she realized how easy and effective it actually is. And that's also when things, important things in her life for the first time, really started to shift and actually show visible, undeniable signs of change, because it is really that easy, and that is really what we deserve. But we need to be doing the right things. And if you invest in the wrong things, it is one less thing that you need to try until you end up with a thing that you actually see works. What was also quite funny is that afterwards, MJ and I were on our way back through the same building, and we connected with this messianic group of prayer warriors there who we prayed with. And it was just such a fun day. It was the perfect way to start our stay in Boston. And I think this is really important to say. When I first found out that this was going on, I was a little bit annoyed. I'm just going to be honest. I was on holiday. We are having to rearrange our whole life. Obviously, we're jet lagged. It's not the ideal scenario to land in a new city after a very long flight and then having to go and do this. But it's really because we have this false conception. And even I still, just about having to go travel somewhere, be super focused and engage in battle. But honestly, it's the most instant soul alchemy that happens that just raises your frequency instantly like crazy. And it's so much fun, especially with other people. And I'm just so excited and grateful that I have different students and apprentices all over the world who immediately just spring to my aid and offer their support and help and want to contribute and want to engage and just make such a huge difference. And the people who weren't physically there, I had so many circle members who were journeying at the same time, who were anointing, who were praying, and I felt their presence while we were there. And it was just such a powerful team effort. And we did exactly what we needed to do that day. So if you feel the call to contribute, to serve, to learn everything there is about the spiritual realm on the dark as well as the light side and how they express themselves and are built on earth and how we work with them on both levels, you need to make sure that you either apprentice with me, and I'm taking applications this month for positions starting in January, or sign up for my spiritual battle training that's coming up. You can go to my website, send me an email at hello@thewayshamanism.com and just write, put me on the list for spiritual battle training. And then you'll be the first to know when we are ready to begin. You will receive instructions on how to prepare, and it will be the ride of your life and the best investment that you ever. I also can't stress enough how much fun this is to do as a group. And if you are longing for not just all of these skills and practice and journeying, but also for that group connection and to work in journeying as well as battle with a team of really incredible souls, make sure that you're on the wait list for the Way Circle so that you get notified when it opens up. We had so many circle members who are regularly journeying, but who also help and engage when it comes to these types of events, which is, of course, no obligation at all. And they had the most beautiful, magical experiences. Wherever they were in the world, they sent me the most incredible messages of how they were tuning in, tapping in, and the immediate proof that they received in the form of real instant miracles wherever they were in the world. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.